Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today is a powerful, powerful program. We're going to be talking with Israel Stefanski, and also we have Yair Netanyahu, which is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's son, came to the glory zone right here on the Gulf Coast. I'm just so excited. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Shalom.
Yes, shalom. Absolutely. You know, you're thinking about, you know, how often we've been praying and praying to God would bless Israel, and praying for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, his wife Sarah, Lord, and praying for their sons and the one son that's in the military there.
Abner's
there. But Yair came to speak at Church of His Presence with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Church of His Presence, like, of course, where you interviewed him, but also he has started the tragedy that we've been reporting on VFN TV, where you don't hear many people talk about what really takes place in Israel, where terrorists are coming in there and they were blowing up buses. They were
for years
and just stabbing the Jews and just terrible things that were going on. And it wasn't until they built the wall. Once they built the wall, that stopped quite a bit. But when you think about your young man and you're seeing this, your friends just being, the bus in front of you is being blown up and you're seeing, their bodies are just, it's just tragedy. Well, when you think about Israel here, he actually was so concerned about it, he began to wonder what he could do about it, and he began something that's actually impacting the world. It's very tragic how it began, but it's a powerful story what he's done with. As a matter of fact, let's join him right now at Church of His Presence.
I don't deserve it. It's honor and humble to stand in front of beautiful brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we stand and believe what God calls us on to do, and that's what we move forward and we get the job. As an American citizen that lives in Israel, and you wonder how is that, my father's a Holocaust survivor, came to the U.S., met my mother from Detroit, got married, and moved to Israel. So I was born and raised. When I was 15 years old, going to school on a Sunday morning, 6:45, I see bus number 18 explode right in front of me, not knowing what to do, because the first minute I thought maybe it's a movie, and seeing the first body part that was laying right next to me was part of a leg of a woman, and I said, I have to go do something, and I felt that push, that was epiphany, that was pushing me, go onto the bus and help and save these people. And I'm 15 years old, not knowing what to do, how to do, never seen it. I helped out as much as I can, went back to school that day, and I said, I know what I need to do is go to medical school, because I know it's going to happen again, so when it happens, I want to be better prepared to help save the people that will be wounded. And instead of playing basketball, that's what I was doing in the afternoons, learning how to put body parts together and saving people's life. Kept doing it over the years as we went through a wave of terror attacks, shooting, all different types, seen it all. One Saturday night, we had a terror attack not far from my neighborhood. On a Saturday night, you go, you pick up the stroller, and you see there's no baby in it because from the impact, the baby flies out of the stroller. But the impact that it does for you, knowing that you are called upon to save somebody's life and help the people, that's what drove me forward to get the job done. And that's the epiphany that I took on from the age of 15 to this day and to the rest of my life. As an American citizen that lives in Israel, we've seen this horror. The horror has been happening and it will still happen. And we try to do whatever we can to stop it. But you know, it's going to continue to happen. What can I do from the lessons we've learned in Israel to bring back here so you don't have to face what we do in the same bloodshed that we went through? There's no reason the U.S. cannot come and learn from the tactics, the lessons learned, whether it's police, emergency management, doctors, hospitals, how to better respond, faster to respond. Remember, a human's life is more important than anything else. As it says in the Jewish books, whoever saves one life saves the entire world. A house gets destroyed, you can rebuild. A life gets lost, you can never rebuild. And that's what ASTI does. And that's one unique organization that I put together that's also an accredited program. So all first responders that come on it helps advance their schooling and their tactics to better save your community, wherever it may be here in America, because I don't want to lose any American lives. And that's what we do, and that's my promise for you today, that ASTI will keep doing whatever we can to make America safe, because that's what we're here for, to save American lives. Thank you.
Can you imagine being 15 years old and seeing that tragedy and not know what to do, and you kind of felt that, we would call it the unction of the Holy Spirit, to do something about it. And he's began something that's impacted the world. You know, it's called the Advanced Security Training Institute, Yisrael Stefanski, and he has a spiritual father out of Mobile, actually.
Yeah, sure does.
That just spoke into his life, his whole life, and it's just been a powerful thing. And now he's coming to the States, and he's helping agencies and departments and all different types of people that need that kind of understanding. And so Israel's common. We're talking about it during the break that, you know, that Israel's always helping folks. Yeah. They're wise, and they're making a great increase in their economy. It's the second Silicon Valley of the world, really.
Diplomacy by giving away the technologies and the blessings that the Lord has really given them.
It's a strategy.
Oh, yeah. But they're doing it all over the place. It's one of the World Cup soccer games in Brazil. They provided all the security. There's so many things like that they've done over the years.
Right, right. And it's beautiful to see that. You know, it says... God told Abraham, I'll bless you to be a blessing to the nations. And guess what? They're blessing the nations in a powerful way. Facial recognition invented by Israel. Agricultural breakthroughs, the drip irrigation, Israel.
Yeah.
You know, the way produce grows, Israel. The being able to have a driverless car, Israel. I mean, all these different things. It's amazing what God's doing through our Jewish brothers and sisters.
That's
there.
Right.
And this is powerful. That's such pain. Came such wisdom, and we just really thank him. And as a matter of fact, you see his website for his organization on your screen. You can go there and find out more details on how to connect and be a part of it. This is an American Israeli, he's a citizen of both, and he is there representing America and representing Israel and helping people around the world actually. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's son, Yair Netanyahu, came to the Gulf Coast, Glory Zone, and to visit at the Church of His Presence, Pastor John Kilpatrick's church in Daphne, Alabama, and had a chance to speak, but also Pastor John Kilpatrick had a chance to sit down with him and to interview him. So this is one of the two sons of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's sitting down with him, just going to interview him and kind of talk to him. And listen, I don't know if you've been praying for Israel and praying for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his children, his family, Sarah's wife, and we have, and keep praying for them, because those that pray for the peace of Israel, you know, that God will bless you and keep you. But we're seeing the benefits of that. As we're seeing, as we pray, he came right here to the Glory Zone. You get to hear right now. This is Pastor John Kilpatrick interviewing Yair Netanyahu. Check it out.
Well, you know, your dad is so respected by this generation. Everybody loves your dad. But while I was listening to you speak, I couldn't help but think that God may be raising you up to speak to the millennials. Who knows? Well, never underestimate what God can do with your life. Never underestimate.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your dad. I know that you love and respect your dad so much, but tell us a little bit about your dad. He was raised in Philadelphia along with his brother Jonathan. How did he wind up being where he is? Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
So he was, after he graduated in high school in Philadelphia, he went back to Israel to serve in the Israeli army. He was an officer in the Israeli version of the, Navy SEALs, like the Israeli version of the Navy SEALs. He's finished his army service, went back to America, studied in MIT, first and second degrees, and then he was working in Boston Consulting Group. And at that time, his brother Jonathan got killed in the operation in Entebbe, and that event changed the course of his life. He started being more interested in counterterrorism, and he was only, I think, in his early 30s, even less. And in his early 30s, and he created a huge convention in Washington of counterterrorism, with many people coming, many congressmen, senators coming there. And one of the people that came to the convention was the Israeli, one of an Israeli ministers. His name was Moshe Arends, who was actually was born and raised in America as well. And he really was impressed with my dad and put him in a position in the American, in the Israeli embassy in Washington. He filled several positions there in the embassy until he was appointed Israeli ambassador at the United Nations. And from when he finished his service in the United Nations, he came back to Israel and got into politics and it all.
Yeah.
Got from there.
Yeah. How old was your dad when he became prime minister the first time?
For the first time? 46, I think.
46.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he was just elected recently, but he wasn't able to form a constituency, is that correct?
Our political system is horrible. You need to be thankful for your political system. It's great. It's the best in the world.
I don't know about that either.
Wait until you see what's happening in Israel. Israel is a parliamentary system, very unstable. You got two parties, Republican and Democrat. Israel has something like 15 parties, as I said, including the Muslim Brotherhood Party that calls for the destruction in Israel. They're also represented in our Congress. So it's very hard to, you need to make a coalition. So it's very unstable. So
another election's coming up?
So we won the election 2 months ago, and we're going into another election on September. That's
September.
Fun. A lot of fun. Yeah. Okay.
Well, tell me about your uncle, Jonathan. How did that affect your father whenever that happened? I remember the raid on Entebbe, and I remember when he got killed.
Yeah, it was headlines all over the world. It was the most daring operation that Israel has ever done. America, as a superpower, huge country, 300 million people, of course, always sends their troops to the other side of the world. Israel never done that before. Israel never had an operation in the heart of Africa, on the other side of the world from Israel. That's why they hijacked the airplane to there. They thought they were safe. And Israel never had such a far away military operation, never before, never ever since. So that was, you know, this is one of the most heroic military operations that Israel ever did. Of course, I never knew him because he was killed in 1976. But my dad is obviously very close to him. And I recommend people who are interested about, he was a beautiful soul from just reading. After he was killed, my father and his brother, the other brother, they gathered all his letters. Love letters to all his family, his girlfriend, his wife, his, from throughout his life, and made a book out of it. And it was bestseller both in Israel and America back in the days, in the 80s. And it's really beautiful book to see what a incredible soul he was.
You think your uncle's death may have contributed to your dad being prime minister?
Well, his death is what caused him to get into counterterrorism, diplomacy, and all of that, and through there to politics, because before that he wanted to be an architect. So, you know, anything could. This is what he studied in MIT.
Yeah.
This is his degree in MIT. So, you know, who knows?
Now tell me about your grandfather. He was 30 years writing a book, is that correct?
So my grandfather, well, I have good genes. He passed away in 102. Years of age, yeah.
102.
And he was born in Poland, and he remembered the German soldiers marching there in the First World War, not the Second World War. I was amazed by his stories. He was one of the most intellectual people I think ever been in Israel. He was a professor in Cornell University, and he was one of the greatest scholars of Jewish history, I think, in all times. And he worked on a book of the origins of anti-Semitism and the Spanish Inquisition. This width of a book, it's really, he worked on it for 30 years, and it's really a masterpiece. It's really incredible.
You know, looking at Israel today, when you say Israel and the IDF, you say the Mossad, first thing that comes in all of our minds is expertise, fighting machine, precision fighting machine. When Moses delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, they didn't even know how to handle a weapon. And all down through the years in the diaspora, until they came back, they didn't know how to handle weapons. When did they become a fighting force of international acclaim?
So as I said, it started all with a Christian, John Henry Patterson, who's the godfather of Jonathan, my uncle, that created the first Jewish fighting force in millennia since the Roman time.
Yeah.
In a legion in the British Army in World War I. This is how it all began. Yeah.
So they're awesome. And so that's what you guys are doing over here, is to teach some of that.
It's an organization. ASTI brings Americans first responders to Israel, whether firefighters or medical first responders or policemen, etc., to come to Israel and learn from Israeli expertise in cybersecurity, counterterrorism, and school safety, because Israel is a true expert in all these fields, and take that knowledge and take it back to America and save American lives.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, one more question. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you married?
No, I'm 27.
27, right? Well, that's a good age to get married. So you're not married. And so did you go to school there in Israel?
I studied in the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, International Relations and Humanities. And and I finished a degree in being involved in our campaigns, because it's constant campaigns in Israel. It's not like in the United States every 4 years. It's all the time. And
And you have a brother.
Yeah.
And what's his name?
Avner. He was a combat soldier in the Israeli special secret unit. And he finished army a year ago, and he's about to start studying at the university as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being here today. Your DNA mixing with the DNA of Alabama, I think there's more to it than what we even realize. So would you give a good God bless you to...
That was just powerful. Wasn't that powerful seeing him be able to share what's going on? And it's the real deal. You're talking about a country of about 8 million people, and it's a very small dot. You could fit in maybe... Jersey.
New Jersey.
The entire country could fit in New Jersey. The widest point of its borders is like 60 miles. I mean, imagine driving just 60 miles and you're both sides of your cuts. It's obviously longer, but it's very small with enemies on every side. And yet they're just such brave military in that for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to be able to take this stand and Yair to take this stand to be able to help, you know, the results of tragic terrorist. I mean, it's amazing what's in the mindset of these individuals who want to just hurt people that have God's name over them, that have God's blessing on them. They just seek a way to harm them, and they have to be vigilant and there. And then you look at his brother serving, or just served, he's out now, of the Israeli Defense Force, and that's a big deal, because if you are the prime minister's son and you're out there on the front lines.
Oh, yes.
In Israel, everybody's on the front lines. It's so small. I mean,
sure.
I mean, you have mandatory 2 years that if you graduate from high school, you got to serve in the military for 2 years, which really I think is a great idea. Because it helps you understand, you know, that your security and your nation. And of course, America's so big. If you think about everybody serving in the military, that'd be a huge budget entry for us. But I think we have over a million. I don't know how many it is. Anyway, but it's just a powerful thing. Pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. It's so powerful to see, you know, what's happening with Israel and we did a whole week on all the things that they've invented and they're doing through pharmaceuticals, they're doing through technology. Do you know the second Silicon Valley and the highest investment capital place in the world outside of America, Silicon Valley, is Israel?
Yeah.
In security, the mobile eye, they're the ones that invented the mobile eye for being able to have driverless cars. They did the facial recognition, and these companies that in America are buying their technology. I think Microsoft has a place there as well.
Almost every single major technology company has an outlet there, major headquarters there in Israel. Yeah. I just got off the phone with someone in Israel this week, and I was telling them about how much Americans and Christians support Israel, and they're so grateful and so appreciative of you. Yeah. You who watch this program, you who support Israel, he was so thankful. And I said, wow, that's great. That's what we're here for. You have a friend in America.
And this is one thing the Lord tells, you know, he says very specifically, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. If you pray for the peace of Israel, then God will bless you back. I mean, it's like a win-win situation. Plus, I mean, understanding the heart and the love and the compassion and the ability to have even though it's pretty radical in their politics, they keep a pretty global viewpoint of just impacting the world in so many different ways. And they've actually created some technology that takes water out of the thin air. So they go to a place that's a desert place, for example, or some place in Africa that doesn't have good water. And their inventions that they've invented is it literally evaporates water out of the air and creates water for people to drink.
Not only that, they can extract all the salts out of that water, out of the Dead Sea. And so we could use some of that technology here in the United States.
That's amazing technology because of their need for water being in Israel. And they actually recycle their water. Mm. It's amazing how much water they reuse again. They invented the drip irrigation. Have you ever seen like a hose, a little small holes in it that just drips just specifically on that one plant? They invented that out of the need because of the fact of, that you got to spare your water. So you're able to use less water being able
cherry
to.
Cherry tomatoes come from Israel.
Cherry tomatoes. Give a shout out for cherry tomatoes. And a lot of other things as well, you know, even natural ways to be able to deal with predators. And, you know, they have a, I don't know what kind of bird it was, but they had this bird that they would, instead of using pesticides, the bird would go and remove the rodents from this. It's just amazing. Listen, pray for the peace of Israel. I want to pray right now. Will you join me as we pray for Israel? Father God, we just pray right now for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God. We pray protection on every border. Father God, we pray for protection over Prime Minister Netanyahu, his wife Sarah, his children, Father God, that you would give them a favor in this election coming up, Father God. And we pray, Lord, honor America as we have honored Israel and stood for Israel, Father God. Protect them. Lord, we ask you to end this nuclear strategy coming against them, Father God, out of Iran, that you would just remove nuclear capabilities from there, Father God. We just pray right now in Jesus' name, peace over Israel. Amen, amen, amen. I want to also remind you, let's just ask one thing before we go. Dear God, end abortion.
Yes.
Send revival. Send a third grade away, can we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the BFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.